This is retired Fire Chief Tom DeSourcy, and you're listening to Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. His career in fire spans over 32 years as a firefighter and fire chief, most recently for the City of Toronto. Long an advocate for mental health, Matt Pegg has joined a new team as the Chief Operating Officer for Warrior Health. To find out more about this new initiative, Matt joins me today from Whitby, Ontario. Welcome, my friend, to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
Good. Friend of the show, as we say.
Excellent.
Talk about Warrior Health, and of course, we'll get into the initiative and the origins, et cetera. But when you first had this opportunity, it first presented itself, what did you think?
I didn't see it coming, to be honest. I was, and you and I had this conversation a couple of times, Tom. I was in the midst, very, very imminently transitioning out of my role as a fire chief in Toronto and heading into retirement, and seemingly out of nowhere, Scott Maxwell, who is the CEO of Wounded Warriors Canada, called me, and I've known Scott for a long time. I had the privilege of working as a volunteer ambassador for Wounded Warriors Canada throughout my tenure as the Toronto Fire Chief. Scott came to see me and introduced this concept to me, and was obviously very excited and had just received word that this was going to happen. And I know we're going to talk about what all of that meant, and set me on a course of thinking about things. And I took, after my last day on the job, I took some time, Catherine and I went to Italy for 3 weeks. And part of that time in Italy was spent considering this new thing known as Warrior Health. And as they say, the rest is history. Here I am.
So Warrior Health is born from out of Wounded Warriors of Canada, and more about that organization for people that may not be aware of who that is.
Yeah, Wounded Warriors Canada is a national provider of mental health supports and resilience training for first responders and military across the country and their families. They're a registered charity and a not-for-profit. They've been working in this space now for more than 12 years and do extraordinary work. And I came to know Wounded Warriors and came to know Scott during my time as the Toronto Fire Chief. And we as an organization partnered with Wounded Warriors, and that just really provided us an opportunity to make additional resources and services available to the Toronto firefighters and all of their families, all of the staff at Toronto Fire Services. And they do such extraordinary work. And it's this small but mighty team of people who are so dedicated to making a difference for the people that make a difference for others. And that resonated with me. And I'm really appreciative for all that they do.
Wounded Warriors brings a lot to the table when it comes to Warrior Health, which we're going to talk more about. Tell us more about what they certainly bring to this.
Sure. So, Tom, it's important. Let's talk a little bit about where this came from, because it'll set the context. So a number of years ago now, going back into prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the province of Ontario authored, ultimately created a strategy that is now known as the Mental Health Supports for Public Safety Personnel Strategy. And that was a very comprehensive scope of work that supported or was an aspect of a provincial healthcare and provincial mental health strategy that they wrote. And that culminated with the launch of an RFP process in 2022. They issued a very comprehensive public RFP looking for a vendor to take the provincial strategy and turn it into action. So to take that strategy to design and develop and then implement and deliver everything that the province had included in their strategy. Scott, as the CEO of Wounded Warriors, for the first time that I'm aware of, assembled a consortium of providers. He pulled together, so of course, Wounded Warriors, his organization, pulled together boots on the ground, the CAMH, so the Center for Addictions and Mental Health, Homewood Health Services, and the Trillium Health Partners. So for the first time, pulled those five significant organizations together under one consortium-based umbrella. And in that, as a consortium, they responded to that RFP, went through that process, and more than 2 years later, were awarded that contract. So Wounded Warriors is the actual contractor, but the consortium is what is now referred to and now known as Warrior Health. So Warrior Health is really a consortium powered group that has been assembled and now exists to deliver on the province of Ontario's mental health supports for public safety personnel and their families.
We know this from our past experience. There are certainly gaps in the mental health process for public safety personnel. What can Warrior Health do to bridge those gaps?
Well, you're exactly right. There are gaps. And we, you know, as much as I wish this weren't the case, we all know that there is no one size fits all. There is no magic bullet, so to speak. But what this does is it pulls together a suite of longstanding, proven, successful supports and services. And that includes things like training and resilience. So proactive training and resources, it pulls together supports, everything from peer support to trauma resilience to very specific individual supports and needs and resources and all of those types of things. So it pulls all of that together under one umbrella and compiles all of those services under this Warrior Health umbrella. And the real advantage, as I see it, when I think about it from a fire chief perspective, because all of that has now been vetted competitively and transparently by the province through a competitive process, it makes accessing those services and acquiring them possible, where, you know, so many public safety organizations, police, fire, paramedics, corrections, et cetera, get stuck in the requirement to do competitive bids and competitive procurement processes. And it in my experience, I mean, I've seen them take more than 18 months. So this streamlines all of that. It makes it accessible and possible. And what really excited me, and, you know, there were a couple of things that actually, you know, tipped the scales and made me say yes. The first was, this is the first time in my experience that I have ever seen where the province has not only created the strategy, but they are coming to the plate with a corresponding funding envelope for it as well. And that's new. So not only are they funding the development of this consortium and the delivery of this network of services, but they will in short order release and make available applications for grant funding, where organizations can apply for funding assistance in order to acquire these services. I've never seen that before. That got me excited. The second thing that really caused me to look and say, yeah, this is completely aligned with things that matter to me and something that I think would be meaningful, was from the very inception, from the very foundation of this, it has been designed and is being designed and implemented, yes, for the what we call public safety personnel, but for their families as well. So families aren't an afterthought in this. It is the families and those who support and depend and care for all of the first responders, all of the public safety personnel are included in this programming and are factored into this programming from the outset. And that's very cool. That got me excited. And those things together, I would say those are the two things that caused me to phone Scott when I got back from Italy and say, okay, I'm in.
The family support piece, that is, I think, unique in terms of the way mental health is the supports for mental health are designed, particularly when it comes to first responders. And I think that I'd like to know more about how that is supposed to operate.
It is absolutely unique. And, you know, again, it's an example of something I haven't seen before, certainly en masse. The Wounded Warriors programming has always been families first and family supported. But to see something that is province-wide and across the whole spectrum of public safety, and I didn't explain that, so I should, that the scope of this provincially is fire, police, paramedics, corrections, and a number of really kind of niche specialty roles. So like coroners, forensic pathologists, animal welfare. So those are examples of things. There's about 88,000 people by the provincial count that are eligible for this or that would fall under that definition in addition to all of their families. There's a couple of ways that families are factored in or family first in this. So the launch of this Warrior Health Initiative comes in or will happen in two tranches. There's two elements to it. The first is what we're calling the digital front door or the Digital Core Services Platform. So we are in development right now with a purpose-built online presence and app that will be fully anonymous, fully confidential, and fully funded, meaning zero cost to any public safety personnel and any member of their family. And that portal will give access to a number of services. It will include access to an online cognitive behavioral therapy program that Homewood Health runs called Sentio. It's fantastic. It will include a number of assessment and diagnostic tools so that people can get an understanding and get some assistance in understanding where they should go to achieve or to acquire the help they're looking for. It includes free access to 24/7 peer support services that are provided by the Boots on the Ground organization. So by 24/7 telephone line. So many organizations, so many public safety organizations in the province of Ontario don't have peer support. Some of the big urban centers do, but this now gives everyone in that category across Ontario free access to peer support with qualified peer support trainers. So that's there. There will be a 24/7 navigation line, meaning by phone. We know that there are people who probably who will prefer not to navigate electronically or by an app. They want to talk to somebody. That will be possible. And that's a really important thing because the province of Ontario is a big place and not everybody operates in LTE or 5G or with good Wi-Fi. So from the ground up, we're making sure that this is fully accessible regardless of what your bandwidth capabilities or preferences are. So those are examples, Tom, and all of those features are available to not only the public safety personnel, but to their families and retirees. And there's no cost to any of that. That's fully funded by the province of Ontario. The second tranche, if you will, or the second piece is this thing that we call the basket of services. And that is pulling together all of the expertise and the proven resources from these consortium partners and others under this Warrior Health umbrella and making those available for purchase by public safety organizations. So there will be this comprehensive menu where an organization can go and identify their needs and know exactly. So I need this. I'll use an example. I need this peer support training. Here's all the different training methodologies. Here's how I can get it, the maximum number of students, what it costs, what its delivery, you know, is it available one-on-one? Is it in-person group? Is it virtual group? Or is it asynchronous online? So all of those are examples of things that will be available, you know, depending on what the program is. And then they can purchase those services. And as I said, the province has also allocated funding in order to provide grant and transfer payment funding that public safety organizations can apply for to help fund and help pay for those things. I've never seen that before. It's pretty exciting.
It's one thing to provide the service, to offer the service, but getting people to actually utilize the service, is that going to be a challenge in terms of the promotion and the selling of it or getting the word out, so to speak, like we are doing right here, obviously, but I guess moving forward in Ontario?
Yeah, I think candidly, I think it will be a challenge. It always has. You're right, Tom. It always has been in the past. And this is a very broad and very diverse set of clients, if you will. Yeah, sure, there's similarities. But when you think about the uniqueness between, you know, police and fire and paramedics and corrections, obviously, I'm most comfortable, you know, from my personal experience in the fire environment. I'm learning a lot very quickly about colleagues in policing and the challenges they face and corrections and the challenges they face and paramedics and the challenges they face. So we know it will be a challenge. One of my key roles right now, we're in this really heavy lift on the design and implementation phase, but the bulk of my role as a chief operating officer is stakeholder engagement. And that is about, you know, doing our best to get out, to share, to make it available. What we're hearing, Tom, and this, I think this has really been, there's been a bit of a light bulb go on for me as I've contemplated and thought about everything that I have been involved in the mental health world from a first responder perspective. It has become very clear how incredibly important the fact that the front end portal, that digital portal, is fully anonymous and fully confidential and is not in any way tied or connected to any employer. There's no data share. So that is, as I'm being told, as I move around the province talking to people, that is becoming a really important thing where people want the ability to say, yeah, I'd like to talk to somebody or I'd like to get some assistance, but I'm not comfortable doing that through my employer and I'm not comfortable having my employer know that right now. And this will provide them that opportunity to do that fully anonymized, fully confidential, with no connection to their respective employers. And that one thing is receiving a lot of accolades and is really what I guess the way I would describe what I'm being told is representing a real model of hope for a lot of people. And I'm excited about that.
I think we can't understate the involvement of the province of Ontario, and looking from the outside, not being myself in the province of Ontario, but to see that this initiative that they have, they've stepped forward. They've stepped up in my thoughts and my view of this. I think we need to give them the credit, I would think, in this whole program, if you will.
I agree with you completely. It's really exciting. This is just the scope of work, the volume of work that they did to create the mental health supports for public safety personnel strategy. That in itself was a mountain of work. But you know, oftentimes, and if I be critical of provincial level governments, it's not all of us. We always see, you know, it's not uncommon to see provincial strategies. It is less common to see them get driven all the way through to action and implementation. And they have literally put their money where their mouth is. They've done a marvelous job of making that a reality. And my hat is off to them. This is happening in Ontario through the Ministry of the Solicitor General. One of my responsibilities, in fact, when we're done this meeting, I'll go on to my weekly briefing with the provincial team. And there is this collection of talented, passionate people from the Solicitor General's office and from the Mental Health Secretariat who, you know, it's just this refreshing thing because they are so excited about what we're doing and they are so dedicated and committed to see this work that it just gets me fired up and it keeps me coming to work every day. And I appreciate that about them. So yeah, I will be the first in the line to applaud. I'm proud of the fact that this has happened from a leadership perspective in the province, and to have the opportunity to be involved in leading the delivery of this is something very special to me.
Knowing you as I think I do, that that you certainly carry around a measuring stick to see where things are. And is it too early to for you to ask you how you would measure success of this project?
Well, maybe a little bit, but it's actually one of the things that we're wrestling with. So, you know, the other thing, Tom, that I'm just completely inspired by is, as part of the RFP process and one of the actual contractual obligations that we have in delivering it, there is this entire robust program evaluation component that was built in from the start. And it's being done third party. So, you know, they've eliminated any of those unintentional or systemic biases. It's being led by professional researchers, PhDs, leveraging some of the top universities in the province, fully anonymized. So this whole program evaluation, and you know, you and I've talked about this, the way that I view this thing in kind of simple terms is it's not difficult to you know, count or add up how much we've done, right? Knowing how much we've done is one thing. Understanding how well we did it is a little more challenging, but the rubber hits the road. The difference that actually gets made for people that need it is found in the answer to who's better off as a result. And that is the methodology that they are applying to this. And as we get through the first year of implementation, we'll be squarely focused on independently assessing, is this actually making a difference for people? And there's this live iterative feedback process where that evaluation will then get fed directly into the ongoing program evaluation, but program design elements, so that we can constantly update and improve and enhance things as we go. So I'm excited to see that happen. It's going to be a lot of work, but I've now met that team and these professionals. There is a level of brilliance there that I don't even understand how brilliant these folks are. And I can't wait to see all of that brilliance translate into this evaluation framework and you know, really to inform us how to do things better and better and better.
What do you think other provinces can learn through a partnership like this?
Well, I'm pretty excited about this. And My focus right now is to get this off the ground and up and running, and I'm confident that we'll do that. Tom, I think this is a winner. From what I see right now, I can see, you know, Scott and I have this conversation. We had this conversation this morning, actually, where this looks to me like something that once it's established here could very easily, and I, you know, maybe quotation marks around easily, but could absolutely become something that is interprovincial and interterritorial, you know, ultimately to a national basis, because the groundwork and the framework is going to be there. And I'm excited about that. I think the fact that the province and the team had the foresight and the wisdom to bake in all of that independent evaluation, to me, that feels like one of the primary ingredients in the recipe to make that a potential possibility. The fact that that evaluation process is there, and it's not just word of mouth, or it's not just Matt's opinion or Tom's opinion. It's a, you know, a professional, empirical, science and evidence-based analysis. And I'm hoping that I would love to see the conversation start about, okay, this is great. How do we move this into, you know, province X or territory X? And I just don't see why that shouldn't happen. So maybe that's a little bold from my end, but we'll see.
It may not be your, you know, your goal in terms of moving it forward, but I would think once this gets out, once this starts to show some life, that the door will be knocked upon, as it were.
Frankly, I think so. And I think more importantly, I hope so. And the fact that, you know, the first platform is that digital front door and leveraging online technology, that has to be easy. As I sit in this office and think about it, you know, the technology really knows no borders. So expanding that, you know, potentially making that available or pushing the accessibility of that across our nation doesn't seem like a huge challenge. I mean, obviously behind the scenes, meeting the, you know, being able to service or, you know, meet all of the service demand, of course, becomes the challenge. But, you know, I can tell you from sitting in these consortium partner meetings, and the consortium partners, the oversight committee is basically the CEOs of each of those organizations. There is a very common focus, very much everyone's united about, let's do this, let's do it really well, let's make a difference for people that need it. And our eyes are not closed to what this could become, but we have to, it's got to work, and we got to get it right first.
It's amazing, and I look forward to the future. I think we are going to watch this with some very keen interest. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, my friend.
This has been Firefighting in Canada, the podcast, brought to you by VFIS of Canada, a division of CVIS Incorporated, Canada's largest insurer of firefighters since 1991. Visit firefightingincanada.com for more episodes.